I'd like for everyone here to get a copy of the New Testament and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. This is the passage of Scripture that you've wondered about. You've been looking for this passage. And Lord willing, by the time I get done, you're going to know exactly what all of that means. Hebrews chapter 10, let's begin with verse 32. Remember those early days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possessions. Verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For it is just a very little while. He who is coming will come and not delay. But the righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrink back, that if he pulls back, I will not be pleased with him. Verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who believe and are saved. A man went off to join a monastery. The reason he did this is because he wanted to live his life in complete and total isolation. So the monks explained to him that once a year they would pull him out of isolation and they would allow him to speak just two words. So at the end of the first year, they pull him out of the isolation. And they said, okay, you can speak two words. What do you want to say? And the man said, food bad. And the monk said, okay, you can say two words in a year. And those two words were to criticize the food. So back into isolation he went. At the end of the second year, they called the man out again. And they said, okay, you can speak two words. And the man said, bed hard. And they thought, okay, you're going to criticize the bed. So back into isolation. At the end of the third year, the man comes out and they said, okay, you can speak two words. What are they? And he said, I quit. And the monks looked at him and said, good, you haven't done anything but complain ever since you've been here. Listen, as we as Christians go through life, the greatest temptation that any of us will ever face is the temptation to say, I quit. Listen, the greatest temptation that any Christian ever faces in their life is that temptation to turn away from Jesus and to walk away. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, and in verse number 23, that if any man come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross and follow me. Look at what Jesus said. The call of Jesus is to come follow. The call of Jesus is to come follow. But brethren, this is too much for so many Christians. Because of the pressure that they feel at home from family members who are not Christians. And the pressure that they feel from co-workers, and the pressures that they feel from non-Christian friends, and the pressures that they feel from the world, and the pressures that they feel from the devil, all of those pressures mount up. And so many of the brethren are tempted to say, look, Lord, I quit. Then you turn to the Bible and you find those who did quit. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, it is said there of Demas, Paul said that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Though Demas was a Christian, and though Demas at one time was a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul, Demas said, listen, I quit. In John chapter 6, there is a large group of disciples who are following Jesus. Jesus is feeding them, and Jesus is tending and taking care of them. And so those disciples became disillusioned about what it meant to follow Jesus. So Jesus addresses them, and Jesus says, listen, you are following me not because you believe that I am who I say I am. You are following me because I have filled your stomach. And when Jesus gets through addressing them, in verse 66 of John 6, the Bible says that many of those disciples walked away and that they followed Jesus no more. When you're tempted to quit. Now, brethren, all of this brings us to the book of Hebrews. And now follow this carefully. The book of Hebrews was written to a group of Christians who were tempted to quit. The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians. That is, it was written to Jews who had left Judaism in order to embrace Christ. But now, because of the stresses, and now because of the pressure, and now because of the persecution they are undergoing, now they are wanting to quit. They are wanting to turn back. I want you to look at the passage that we just read, and I want you to look at what this passage says about what Christianity brought into their lives. In verse 32, it says that Christianity brought great suffering into their lives. In verse number 33, it says that these Christians were made public spectacles. That is, they were publicly humiliated. They were publicly persecuted so that all could see. In verse number 34, their property was confiscated from them because they were Christians. Because of what they went through, Because of what they had to endure as Christians, they became weary in their relationship with Jesus. Because of what they had to go through because of Christ, their road became very long. And because of all of this, they're now tempted to say, we're going to turn loose of Jesus and we're going to go back to Judaism. What these brethren that the writer of Hebrews is addressing in this passage, these brethren are about to say, I quit. Now, here we are. This is the passage you've been looking for. You knew it was in there, but you couldn't find it. But we found it. In this passage, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, the writer of Hebrews is telling these Christians, and he is telling us, here is how to overcome the temptation to quit. Do you understand what I just said? In this passage that we just read, here is the passage where God is explaining to you and me, God is explaining to us, here is how not to quit. Now, if you will study this passage carefully, if you will deep dive into those verses, the writer of Hebrews tells these people and he tells you and I, when you are tempted to quit, when you are tempted to think that it, listen, this faith thing just isn't working out, this thing isn't worth it. When you are tempted to quit, the writer in this passage says there are five things that you need to remember when you're tempted to quit. Now, I'm saying to everybody in here before I start them, you may not need these five things today, but if you live very long at all, the day's gonna come when you're gonna need these. When you are tempted to quit, the writer says there's five things that you need to remember. Number one is this. When you are tempted to quit, remember, and that's wrong, remember the joy of your conversion. Remember the joy of your conversion. Look at verse number 32. Look at verse 32. Look what he says. Remember those early days after you received the light. That is, remember those days when you were enlightened. Well, what enlightenment or light is he talking about? He's talking about the gospel. Remember, go back, when you are tempted to quit, when you're tempted to throw it all away, just go back and remember the joy of your conversion. And that's exactly what he says. However, before we look at that, brethren, let's go back further and let's take a look at our lives before we were converted. Before we were converted, we were headed into eternity without God. Before we were converted, back then, there was a lot of sin going on. Amen. Back then, there was a lot of disappointment. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul describes what our lives were before our conversion. In Ephesians 2 and in verse 1, Paul says that we were dead in our sins. And because of our sins, we were separated from God. In verse 2 of Ephesians 2, Paul says, before we were converted, we walked according to the way the world walked. Paul says we walked according to the way the devil wanted us to live. And in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, Paul says, before our conversions, we were without Christ, we were without hope, and we were without God. That's what we were before our conversion. But brethren, look now at what we have become. We have now become, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, we have become new creations in Christ. Do you know people read that and don't understand it? Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. That verse does not teach that when you were converted, that God took you and refurbished you into something else. We are not refurbished. We are new. When you came up out of that baptistry, that is your birthday. Because it's new. Look what we have become. According to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, we are now the children of God. Think about that. Look at what we have become. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, we are Christians. The suffix on the end of the word Christ, I-A-N, what that means, Christians, is that we are now people who belong to Christ. Brethren, look at what we have become. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, we are saved. Look at what we have become. Philippians 4 and in verse 4. We are to rejoice in the Lord and we are to always rejoice. Now, why are we to always rejoice? Why? We can always rejoice because now we are new creatures. We can always rejoice now because we are children of God. We can always rejoice now because we belong to Christ. We can always rejoice now because we are saved. We can look, if you are tempted to quit, if you're tempted to say, look, I'm leaving here, I'm not coming back here, and I'm done with God. If you are tempted to do that, you go back, look at where you were, and look at where you are now. The difference from where we've been to where we are now is Jesus.
So when it all gets hard, I don't want to do this no more. Remember the joy of your salvation. Number two, when you are tempted to quit, the writer says, remember the promise of heaven. Look at verse number 34. Verse 34. You sympathize with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possessions. And the New King James adds to that, the possession of heaven. Listen, I don't know where all of you are, and I don't know where all of you are going through, but I'm going to tell you something. Better days are coming. Better days are ahead. You hear what I said? Better days are ahead. You need to understand something. This old world and nothing in this old world is going to endure. But better days are coming. And those better days, according to this verse, we are going to be with God forever in heaven. Nothing, listen, nothing in this world will endure. Listen to what the Bible says. In 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 15. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the things that are in the world, if you love them, then you don't love God. In verse 16 of 1 John 2, John says, everything that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Then in verse 17, he says this. He says, listen, this world and everything in it is going to pass away. And only those who do the will of God will last forever. When you are tempted to quit, remember the promise that the Lord has made to you about heaven. Heaven is real. It's not a myth. It's not some figment of somebody. Heaven, listen, heaven is as real as that pew you're sitting on. And I want to go. I want to go because God is going to be there. Jesus, in teaching how to pray, Jesus says, this is how you should pray. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Our Father which are in heaven. Listen, if heaven is nothing more than God, that's enough for me. Let's go. I want to go to heaven because God is going to be there. But I want to go to heaven because all of the saved are going to be there. In Revelation chapter 4 and in verse 1, John the Revelator said that there was a door to heaven that was open. And John said, I looked in that door. Now, if the door of heaven is open, and if you look in that door, then what are you seeing? You are seeing what's going on in heaven. And John says, when I looked through that door into heaven, John said that there was a throne in the middle. And he describes God on this throne. And John says around this throne, there were the 12 patriarchs. Those 12 patriarchs represent the totality of the saved in the Old Testament and old times. John says, and around that throne were the 12 apostles. Those 12 apostles represent the saved of the Christian dispensation. And John said that they continued to sing and to say, listen, I want to go to heaven because that's where all the saved are going to be. Can you imagine? Moses, the prophet Isaiah, Abraham, Peter and Paul and John, and brethren that we have known through our lives who have passed on, and family members that we have had who have passed on. Listen, I want to go to heaven because God is going to be there. I want to go to heaven because the saved are going to be there. And bless God, I want to go to heaven because I've been invited. Jesus said in John chapter 11 and in verse 28, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. You listening? When you are tempted to quit, think about the promise of heaven. Number three, when you are tempted to quit, remember that Jesus is going to return someday. Look at verse 37 in Hebrews 10. Verse 37. For in just a little while, he who is coming, and he will not delay. Let me tell you something about the second coming of Jesus. The second coming of Jesus is going to be visual. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. His coming will not only be visual, but his coming will be audible. Yes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and the trumpet of God will sound. On that day, the trumpet of God will make sounds that have never been heard before by the human ear. You want to quit? You want to stop? You don't want God anymore? I'm leaving here and not coming back. Listen, remember that Jesus is returning someday. And brethren, listen, listen. There is a reason why he's coming. And he tells us himself. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions, and if that weren't so, I would tell you so. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and when I return, I will take you with me, and we will forever be with the Lord. Jesus Christ is coming someday to take us with him, and that's why you can't quit. When you're tempted to quit, it's hard, preacher. I understand that. Preacher, I'm discouraged and I'm hurt. I understand that too. But when you're tempted to quit, number four, remember the disappointment you're going to be to so many other people. Remember the disappointment that your turning back is going to cause. Brethren, look at verse number 38. The writer says, "But my righteous ones will live by faith. And if he shrinks back," that is, if he draws back from the faith, it says, "I will not be pleased with him." There was a mother, and her son was part of the high school football team. But the mother knew absolutely nothing about football. So somebody asked her, "What position does your son play?" And she says, "Well, I think he plays shrink back or draw back." There is no such position in football as draw back. But I know a lot of Christians who play draw back. I know a lot of Christians who play shrink back. I want you to look carefully at who this warning is given to. Look at verse number 38. Look at who this warning about they draw back from the faith is given to. "But if my righteous ones will live by faith." Who's he talking about? He's talking about the righteous. Look what he says about him. "And if he who? The righteous. If the righteous draw back." Listen. What I'm talking about this morning, this whole thing. Listen, this could happen to any of us. Think about if you quit the disappointment that you have caused in others. Think about the disappointment that the Lord will have in you. Look at the end of verse 38. The Lord says, if you draw, he says, "I will not be pleased with that." Brethren, look, if you draw back, what Jesus did when he came and died will mean nothing to you. Think about the disappointment that you will be to the Lord, but then think about the disappointment that you will be to yourself. If you quit and walk away from God, you will spend every second of your eternity saying, "I knew better than this. I knew better than this." And then think about the disappointment that you will be to others. Those of us who have been in the church for a while, we all know those people who at one time were faithful and dedicated, but they got away from the Lord, and now they've passed on. And when we think about their memories, how discouraging is that? One more, we're gone. When you are tempted to quit, when you think that this isn't worth it, remember the joy of your conversion, what you were and what you've become. Remember the promise of heaven. Remember the Lord is going to return someday to receive you. Remember the discouragement and the disheartenment that your turning back will cause to others. And finally, number 5. If you are tempted to quit, remember you can stay faithful. Look at the last verse, verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back and are destroyed, but we are of those who believe and are saved. You know what he's saying? Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Please understand this. If you understand nothing else, what was happening in the lives of these brethren in the book of Hebrews could happen to any of us. Now you listen real carefully the next 30 seconds. Faith can become stale. Worship can become a bore. Christianity can become old and tired. And because of that, you need to remember the joy of your salvation, the promise of heaven, the return of the Lord, the discouragement you'll cause others. And you need to remember that you can stay faithful. So I ask you this morning this question. Where are you in your relationship with God? Are you one that's climbing and striving? Or have you reached a plateau? Many brethren reach a plateau and stay there forever and convince themselves they're still climbing. Or are you one who is drawn back? Are you one who is drawn back? The greatest temptation you will ever face as a child of God is the temptation to turn and walk away from Him. I beg you, read this passage, and I beg you to remember what will happen if you quit. This morning, if you need to respond, come forward right now as together we stand and as we sing.